At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. Well, HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. So start saving with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Sam Farber.
Welcome to another edition of the Hornets Hivecast, your Hornets podcast with all the notes, quotes, and daily buzz around your favorite NBA team. I'm Sam Farber, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us here once again on the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. It's a game day edition. Hornets winding down the 23-24 season. Tonight they're in Boston taking on the Celtics. We'll have our game preview for that one. We'll also talk about the outstanding rookie season of Brandon Miller. At least we think it's outstanding. We'll let you know what some other outsiders have been saying recently about the Hornets wonderkind, and we'll talk about the to-do list for the upcoming offseason. And doing it all with one of our favorite guests here on the Hornets Hivecast. You can see him nightly on Spectrum News One, their sports director, one of our good buddies, Mike Solarte, back with us again here on the HHC. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Sam, thanks for having me, dude. Always a pleasure.
We are thrilled to have you. I know you've been a road warrior recently covering NC State's run through the Final Four and occasionally photobombing their intro videos, but it's good to have you back here with us. You're always welcome to photobomb or audio bomb our stuff here. We're always welcome.
I appreciate that. Good to know the door's open.
Always open. Yes, indeed. Well, let's tip things off here with what I think has been the main story of the 23-24 season, and that is the emergence of Brandon Miller. He has had an outstanding rookie season, I think, by any measure, but that's my opinion. Apparently, it's not universally held. We constantly monitor things like power rankings and rookie ladders, in part because it's good podcast fodder, but apparently it gets my blood pressure up too. I think this one, though, I have good reason. ESPN put out kind of its season end rookie power rankings. Bobby Marks and Kevin Pelton, who cover the league very, very well, put this together, and I think they might be trolling me personally. Their latest rookie power rankings, they're less focused on ordering a top 10 per se, and really it feels more like they're trumpeting Victor Wembanyama and deciding on a first-team all-rookie squad to go with him. So they have Wembanyama as the clear number one, Chet Holmgren the clear number two. I don't have a problem with that. I personally prefer to view the class more as there's a clear big three, and that includes Brandon Miller, less so than there being an elevated upper echelon of Wembanyama and then Holmgren and everybody else, but maybe that's me quibbling. Where I do have a problem, though, is as they continue the conversation within the piece, they're looking at, well, who else should be on a first-team all-rookie squad, and they land on Brandon Podziemski of Golden State and Jaime Jaquez of Miami very quickly, and then they're really debating whether or not Brandon Miller should be on the first-team all-rookie squad at all, and then begrudgingly seeming to give it to him, admitting that Derek Lively II of Dallas has been injured too much to warrant the selection. And that's where I kind of go off the rails on this, because statistically speaking, Brandon Miller has had so much more asked of him and has risen to the challenge each and every time. And while some of the stats, some of the advanced metrics might be good for Jaquez and Podziemski, they're on very different teams in very different situations. I can't believe that if you were starting a franchise and you had the third overall pick, that you would pick someone other than Brandon Miller, assuming Wembanyama and Holmgren are off the board.
I completely 100% agree with you. I mean, the fact that they are struggling, that they're having a struggle to put Brandon Miller on an all-rookie first team with no shade being thrown at the other two, Jaquez and Podziemski. What you pointed out is the load that Brandon Miller has been asked to carry for Steve Clifford this year. And instead of being a guy that could be a rotational piece and learning his way around the league, with injuries that cropped up on this team, he was thrown and thrust into that role of being a starter and a contributor. And he hasn't looked out of place. That's the thing. I mean, Sam, you've watched every game. You've been at every game. And you've seen his development every step of the way. In the games that I have watched, I have not seen Brandon Miller really look out of place. And that, I think, is a true testament to how good this kid is. If I could, you know, screw around Steve Clifford's brain a little bit, you know, Miller was probably going to be the first guy off the bench at the start because you wanted, you know, Cliff even said, yeah, he's going to play. He's good. You know, he's got great IQ. But he was immediately thrust into a starter's role early on and stayed there because partly out of necessity, but partly because, you know, the necessity of his ability and his skill set. I think it's laughable that he wouldn't be considered a first team all rookie, I should say. He's earned every bit of it. And then you talk about a guy who's, what, three straight months is the NBA rookie of the month? Did I miss that memo, or am I inventing that?
No, you got it right. Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month, three times running. And there is some precedent for a player to win that award and not make all-rookie first team. I think Josh Giddey actually did it a couple of seasons ago. But again, different circumstances. And just statistically speaking, Brandon Miller's rookie season is better than Josh Giddey's. So I think this is maybe a bridge too far for me. I just don't understand how you can look at the stats. And look, sometimes rookie production is based off scenario, just like it is in all sports. You know, you can have the best quarterback in a rookie class in the NFL, but if he doesn't play, take Patrick Mahomes, considered, you know, maybe he'll end up the greatest quarterback of all time. He didn't win Rookie of the Year. He sat behind Alex Smith. That was the situation he went into. Doesn't take anything away. No one's, you know, feeling bad for Patrick Mahomes that he didn't win Rookie of the Year, but, you know, that's the situation he found himself in. The part that I don't get is looking at the game of Brandon Miller and making the assumption that he wouldn't be as or more effective than Podziemski or Jaquez have been for their teams. And you're right. The original design was for Charlotte to be healthy most of this season and for Brandon Miller to be the super sub coming off the bench and maybe at some point elevate to a starter's role. That didn't end up happening. But holding it against Brandon Miller that the Hornets have been overridden by injuries, it's akin to saying, well, I mean, you know, you just have to do the math in your head and wonder to yourself, what would Golden State look like without Steph Curry? What would Miami look like without Jimmy Butler? And then ask yourself, do Podziemski and Jaquez keep those teams exactly where they've ended up being with those players healthy? If your answer is no, then Brandon Miller's got to be the pick for, if not third best rookie in the class, first team all rookie for certain.
You hit the nail on the head, Sam. I mean, for everything that this kid has been asked to do as a rookie and to do it with just the stability, the consistency he's done night in and night out, Brandon Miller has been a treat to watch this year because watching him grow up right in front of our eyes in his first season has been a treat. With LaMelo Ball being sidelined for much of the year with the injuries, you know, Brandon Miller is quickly becoming another face of the franchise. And I think that's great for him. It's great for this club going forward. And he's only going to get better. I mean, he's got such a high ceiling that with experience and a little more physical maturity, as he, you know, fills out that frame a little bit, I mean, this is going to be a fun player to watch for a long time.
Well, I appreciate the support in the therapy session. I knew I could trust you, Mike Solarte. Sam Perley of Hornets.com tends to send me these things trying to have me go over the edge. So I'm glad someone shares my opinion and can help talk me down off the ledge. Brandon Miller, we'll see what he ends up being selected in a few weeks here in terms of the all-rookie squad. I would be shocked. It will be emergency podcast for at least a week if Brandon Miller is not all rookie first team in the NBA.
I'll come save you if that happens to be the case. I'll come help you out.
I appreciate it. Well, we have a strong feelings that Brandon Miller is definitely one of the tent poles here for the Hornets moving forward. What else is on their to-do list for the upcoming offseason? We'll talk about that with Mike Solarte of Spectrum One after this here on the Hornets Ivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Sam Farber and Mike Solarte, the sports director for Spectrum News One in the Queen City. You can catch him nightly on Spectrum News One, and I see him all around uptown covering various sporting events really all around the state of North Carolina and all over the country. Just got done covering the Final Four, seeing NC State's remarkable run, seeing many of the prospects of the future for the NBA. That's definitely something high on the to-do list here for the Hornets, as they are projected as of right now to probably have somewhere in the vicinity of a top five pick. Those are so valuable to any franchise, particularly when you get them right. Hornets certainly seem to have done so with Brandon Miller, as we've already been discussing. LaMelo Ball, another top five pick that has already been named an all-star in his career. Future definitely seems bright. There is a lot to do, however, for the Charlotte Hornets, and we'll talk about that now here with Mike Solarte, again, of Spectrum News One. So, Mike, in terms of your wish list here for the Hornets, there's a lot to cover. Hornets have a draft pick to make. They're going to have a new coach to select. A lot of decisions to come. What is highest on your to-do list for the summer here for the Charlotte Hornets franchise?
Honestly, I think it's evaluate the roster and who's going to be around next year and kind of figure out, you know, which direction you want to go in terms of filling out the pieces that are going to surround, knock on wood, a healthy LaMelo Ball, a second-year player in Brandon Miller, a guy like Nick Richards. I mean, you know, it's all the pieces that you're going to want to have back. And, you know, at the trade deadline, they added so many guys. And, you know, I'm looking ahead to next year, and guys that are, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I mean, guys that are under contract for next season include LaMelo, Davis Bertans, Grant Williams, Brandon Miller, Cody Martin, Vasa Micic, Richards, Trey Mann, Mark Williams, Seth Curry. I mean, there's all guys that have term on a base, you know, guys have a base salary for next season. And so it makes me wonder where Jeff Peterson is going to go if players are going to be moved. You know, when it comes to a wish list, though, the only thing I wish that this team had was health. You know, I wish they were healthy this past season so we could see, really get a good gauge of what these guys are going to look like, because after the trade deadline, there was a completely different team, adding the five players that came in. And it just, you know, it was like, okay, well, now Cliff's got some guys that have some NBA, you know, time, some, you know, a little bit of experience, and those guys plugged in nicely right off the hop. So I don't know if they're necessarily a wish list, because you have a new coach that's coming in too. So what kind of style is he going to want to play? Because Cliff wanted to play that five out kind of thing, because that's the direction of the league is you know, kind of going, and you know, people are getting away from, you know, a post player, and so I mean, does Bobby Bertans, as big as he is, he's an outside guy, he's part of that five out. I think really the wish list is going to come from the kind of coach that comes in and the style of play that he wants to have. And so it's hard for me to point the finger at one area of need for this team coming into the draft, because there's going to be a lot of questions, that have to be answered before they get to the draft. And to me, the first one is who's going to coach the club.
Well, that is certainly an enormous question here for this upcoming season, and will really set the tone, no doubt about it, for the future of the franchise. So no disagreements here. I think that's obviously an enormous call. But in terms of the long-term future for the franchise, I think the biggest priority, the most important, most impactful thing that Charlotte will do here moving forward, to me, it's got to be the draft. I think the selection, the likelihood is that it will be a top five pick. And the opportunity in a four-year span to pick three times in the top five, first off, it's not exactly something you aspire to. You're not hoping to be in the lottery and have the fates conspire against you. And quite frankly, oftentimes when that happens, it means that you got something wrong. It means that, you know, one of those potential future all-stars you thought you were selecting isn't really a potential all-star, and so you fall short of your goal. But the scenario that I think of, or I hope for, when I look at the Charlotte Hornets and imagine the future, is what the Oklahoma City Thunder did in the late 2000s. Is it the aughts? Is that what we call that decade? What do we call that decade?
The aughts, correct.
All right.
That portion of the decade is the aughts, yes.
I don't have too many people that were around in 1900 to tell me exactly what they called that decade. So it's good to know I'm barking up somewhat the right tree. But you look back at, you know, what at first Seattle and then Oklahoma City did, you know, obviously the bottom fell out. They ended up with the number two overall pick in 2007, hit an absolute home run in the future Hall of Famer, Kevin Durant. And while there were other really good selections, that was a good draft. Greg Oden, unfortunately, had a lot of injuries in his career. But right after Kevin Durant, you've got Al Horford and Mike Conley, two excellent players. Both of them have been all-stars. Really, really good top four in the draft. You wouldn't necessarily have gotten it wrong going in another direction, but they definitely got it right in picking KD. The next year, they end up back in the lottery again. They end up in a top five position, picking fourth overall. They select, again, my opinion, the best player in the draft, as it's turned out or panned out, in Russell Westbrook. There were other good answers there. Derrick Rose had injuries take him down from the best possible version of himself. But other teams ahead of Seattle at the time, eventually became OKC, took guys like O.J. Mayo, who in hindsight clearly are not as good as Russell Westbrook. So that's another home run. And then in 2009, they end up top three again, and they get, again, I think in hindsight, the best player in the draft. Injuries and gravity maybe took effect on Blake Griffin earlier than the Clippers maybe had originally thought it would. But James Harden has been an outstanding player, and certainly right there with, well, ahead of guys taken immediately after him, the only player that I think statistically is close, and I would say in terms of overall impact has indeed been better, is Steph Curry. So that one maybe would have been a better pick in hindsight for OKC, but again, you didn't get it wrong by picking James Harden. So circling back here to the Hornets, I think this is what you have the opportunity to do now with the selections of LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller, and this next top five pick in short order, assuming it ends up there, is end up with three all-stars and maybe three players that one day can contend for MVPs and lead the franchise towards the mountaintop and a championship. So to me, the draft pick is the most important thing the Hornets will undertake here this offseason.
There's no question about it. And that's really, for the folks listening to the podcast, this is why Sam Farber is so good. That was such great context about what, you know, comparing the Hornets situation to the Oklahoma City situation from years back. That was beautifully done. And then when you think about you know, where the Hornets can go with perhaps a top five pick. You know, you have to ask yourself, okay, if you've got LaMelo healthy and you've got Brandon Miller, what would be the third part of a somewhat big three? You know what I mean? And that, I think, would probably be where Jeff Peterson is looking. And again, we've had Jeff for, what, a month and a half now? If that, you know, so it begs the question of what kind of player is he looking for to be another third piece to put the Hornets in position to have a big three of their own. And of course, injuries are, you know, notwithstanding, on paper, it would stand to reason that they would probably want to go with, in your opinion, Sam, are we looking maybe at a three, a four guy, you know, I mean, a forward that can shoot, that can, you know, take it to the 10. I mean, that's, you know, because when you laid out with Oklahoma City, I mean, you laid out with Durant, who is a Hall of Famer. You laid out with guards, Harden and Westbrook. You know, that it's just, what is that third piece going to be to perhaps have a nice triumvirate for the Hornets going forward? And that's where scouts come in. That's where everybody doing their homework comes into play to help factor in. And of course, you also have to answer the question of your current roster. But yeah, no, it really is a nice position to be in, because you mentioned it. You don't want to be picking in the top five 3 years in a row, because it means you may have done something wrong. But this team didn't do anything wrong. The last two seasons have just been injury filled, and it's not because they picked guys that aren't good. LaMelo and Brandon Miller have proven that they're good players when they're on the floor. You know, more so LaMelo's case than Brandon, because he hasn't missed much time at all. I think you and I are on the same page with the opportunity in front of Jeff Peterson and the Hornets to really put a third foundational piece in play and get this team moving in the right direction. And again, it all goes back to who the next coach is going to be and how they blend all the ingredients together to serve up what they hope is a winning dish, as it were.
I agree. Yeah, this is a rare opportunity. It doesn't happen very often that you get a chance to draft this high. And, I mean, look, I think, you know, the other comparison, the other one I would have gone to outside of OKC back in the early aughts, or late aughts, I should say, is Boston in the late teens. They got Jason Tatum in 2017, took him third overall. That clearly, to me, has been the best player in that draft. And then they had also picked up Jaylen Brown the year prior, and that was already a good Boston team. They got a little lucky in some of the trades they made with other franchises, acquiring first-round picks. They ended up being top three. But these are the kinds of opportunities where you turn your franchise around and put them on a championship trajectory for a decade or more. It's when you hit home runs in this kind of position. And I think the belief, rightfully so, is that the team has hit a home run in LaMelo Ball and hit a home run in Brandon Miller. If you hit another one, teams rarely have three all-star caliber talents on a team simultaneously. If you can get one, they label it a super team and they position you for championships. Hopefully Charlotte does that again here in the upcoming 2024 draft. Still some work to do on this season before we get to draft previews and out-of-season content. Hornets taking on the Boston Celtics tonight. Should be an interesting one. We'll preview the game with Mike Solarte of Spectrum News One after this here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Sam Farber and Mike Solarte of Spectrum One here with you on the HHC, the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta. It's a game day. Hornets taking on the Celtics. I'll be honest, Mike, this is not going to be the easiest game preview we've ever done because there are a whole lot of question marks going on with Boston ahead of this one. I will freely admit we tend to record these things a little bit ahead of time, so we don't necessarily have a good grasp on who's in, who's out for the Boston Celtics for tonight's game. Going into their contest against the New York Knicks last night, Jaylen Brown was questionable. Jason Tatum was questionable. Kristaps Porzingis was questionable. Jrue Holiday, who just signed a big extension, he was questionable. So was Al Horford. They do have a couple of players out, but for the most part, those guys are all on G League contracts. So this is really managing your roster and making sure that your team is ready to play in the postseason, where Boston is going to be the number one overall seed and really has no reason to risk their guys outside of keeping them in tip-top shape ahead of a 1-8 series. So game preview might be a little bit more difficult, but that's why we've got Mike Solarte here with us. I know he can handle it. So Mike, you know how these things work. We need a player to watch for the Hornets, player to watch for the Celtics, and a statistic to watch other than points, because obviously that's cheating. Where would you like to begin our journey?
Let's go with player to watch. Since we're kind of playing a guessing game with guys like Holiday, Tillman, Horford, Porzingis, and Brown as game time decisions, ahead of the Knicks matchup, I'm going to go with Charlotte, because I just look at this team and this is an opportunity, obviously, for Brandon Miller to continue to make his case to, I guess, the doubters that he belongs as an all rookie first team selection. But I also think that this is an opportunity for Miller to be a guy that, quite honestly, will finish the season as the leader of this, the leading face on this team. You know, he might be trailing a guy like Miles Bridges in points per game, who's at 21 points per so far in the year. I look at Brandon Miller and everything that he's done, and I just want to see him, personally, and this is, a little selfish on my part, but I want to continue to see him have big games where he's putting up, 25 points a night, that sort of thing, 27, 30, whatever it is. To really show folks that he is here for the long haul and getting this thing going in the right direction and be unafraid about the doubters and be unafraid of the moment. Because I think even though these games are, playing off the string for Charlotte at 20 and 60, it's still an opportunity for guys to set some momentum going into next season. And I think that Miller, if he continues what he's doing and what he has done, this is going to be a nice springboard for him into next season. I mean, the whole year is a nice feather in his cap, but I mean, this is a guy that is, he's no longer a rookie after 80 games. He's going to be a guy that is going to be hard charging into next season, where he's going to be counted on to do even more. And I think this is a really nice way for him to wrap up the year. So I'm looking for Brandon Miller to go out and show out against what could be a little bit of a shorthanded Celtics team. But as you mentioned, they have nothing to gain and everything to lose by playing guys that they're going to be counting on in the playoffs. So I think Brandon Miller could be in line for a big night.
I like the pick. Brandon Miller, obviously an outstanding season last game in the W that the Hornets picked up over rival Atlanta. In addition to taking the season series over the Hawks, he moved into the top three in Hornets franchise history for rookie scoring. He passed Rex Chapman from the inaugural season for third. And so just like I think there should be a three-person plateau at the top of this rookie class, Victor Wembanyama, Chet Holmgren, Brandon Miller, there's now a three-person tier in terms of overall scoring heights reached in Hornets franchise history, and it now includes Brandon Miller, Larry Johnson, and Alonzo Mourning. Pretty good company to be keeping. I'm going to go in a different direction. There's always something to look for at every stage of the season and every game, no matter if it's playoffs on the line or not. And one of the storylines looking ahead here for Charlotte is who's going to be in the mix for next season. And so these games are invaluable as just kind of data points showing what you do with the rest of the Hornets core. And one player who's had a pretty nice run here over the last couple of weeks is Alexei Pokuševski. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does here with continued opportunity. There's a lot of guys that fall into this category, but Poku had a 10.6 rebound game the other night. He made multiple threes. Overall, with Charlotte, he's been around 7-8 points per game, a little over 4 rebounds per game. Coming off the bench, he's somewhere in the neighborhood of 33-34% from beyond the arc. So these are respectable numbers for coming coming in off the bench. I don't know if a surge in the last two games puts it over the top for Poku or not, but he's someone who has long been a fascination in the NBA. He's drafted 17th overall, went to OKC as they were beginning their rebuild, and he's had some interesting numbers. He's a very interesting player, and obviously he's playing for, in a certain respect, his NBA future right now, so I'm curious to see how he fares tonight, trying to keep this run going for himself and for the Charlotte Hornets. Next up, do you want to do a Celtic player to watch, knowing that there's quite a few landmines on this roster right now, or a stat to watch?
Let's do a stat to watch, and looking at these two teams and how they match up based on what we know, I think that one thing that Steve Clifford has wanted from this team is get the ball to the paint. And I think that rebounding and points in the paint, those two kind of go hand in hand. Maybe even second chance points. I don't throw three stats out here to cover all my bets here. But I think, honestly, points in the paint is probably going to be a critical element for Charlotte against Boston. They got to get the ball to the paint. Whether or not they score from there is part of it, you know, because you can obviously kick back out for threes. But I want to see the ball get into the paint. So I'm going to say points in the paint. If Charlotte can get, you know, anywhere in the 20 to 30, somewhere in that range there, I think they've got a puncher's chance because, again, you don't know exactly what the Celtics are bringing to the table because they've got guys that are resting, guys that are dinged up. So I want to see Charlotte take advantage, whether it's drives to the basket or entry passes down low. I want to see points in the paint be a factor.
I like it. Points in the paint should be in a category the Hornets have an edge in. Boston scores less in the paint as a percentage of their offense than any other team in the NBA. Really goes to show how much they've embraced the three-point line as a part of their persona on the floor. With so much unknown, though, and I'm kind of looking at this stat from a Celtics perspective in terms of how this game will be determined, I'm going to go with three-point percentage for this one. And again, I'm taking into account that Boston may have a few players out for tonight's game, it being night two of a back-to-back and their fate already sealed. They will be the one seed. They've got the best record overall in the NBA. So if they choose to rest some guys that are better shooters or better, you know, playmakers, it puts more pressure on the rest of the group to come through. And I think Charlotte, you know, it's less the Hornets have to keep up with Boston in terms of three-point shooting and more where does Boston fall in relation to their normal output from the three-point line. I think that will end up having a big piece in terms of determining the outcome of tonight's game. Charlotte did not outshoot Atlanta from three the other night, still got the win. They made fewer threes. They made them at a lesser percentage, but they were so much more efficient at taking the ball away, it ended up not mattering. But I think three-point shooting tends to play a big role against Boston, no matter who's out there on the floor. Which brings us to our final question here, and that is a Celtics player to watch. I know there's a lot of landmines again, but Mike, who you have your eye on? Who maybe is on your wish list? Who do you want to see out there for the Boston Celtics?
I'd like to see all of them not play, give Charlotte a fighting chance, you know. But I think when we look at the information that we have in front of us, and you know the unknowns as to who's going to be out there, I think that the player to watch, you know, the low hanging fruit obviously is Jason Tatum. But I think you also have to look at other guys that started against Milwaukee, that played against Milwaukee. And even though Drew Holiday is one of those guys that's, you know, listed as maybe questionable, he played 32 minutes against the Bucks in that loss that snapped a five-game win streak for them. Jaylen Brown played 36 minutes against the Bucks in that one. To me, you're gonna make me pick, aren't you? Yeah, you're gonna make me pick. You know what? I'm gonna go with Derek White. Pedestrian 9 points against the Bucks, but I think he's gonna be a guy that's gonna, depending on who dresses for Boston, I think is the big thing here. Depending on who they have available for the game, on the back end of a, you know, second night back to back, depending on who they've got available for them, I think White's going to have to make, he's going to play pretty mistake free. You know, he was a minus 11 in differential against, the Bucks, you know, did commit the one turnover, but, you know, finished with 9 points and four boards, a couple of steals, three assists in that one. So I think you got to look at a guy like him to being the facilitator to make sure that he's making the right plays, getting the ball in the right hands. So I'm going to look at him. I'm going to look at Derek White for that one as the Boston player to watch for not necessarily blowing up the scoreboard, but helping Boston while they may be shorthanded to try to get a win against the hungry Hornets team that, you know, we've already discussed about guys that are maybe playing for the futures a little bit.
I like the pick. I'm going to go totally off the wall here. I'm not necessarily assuming that everyone is going to miss the game for the Boston Celtics, or even if, you know, they all play, they all don't. Just someone I root for, being a former Hornet, and just being the storyline of the NBA season being what it is. I just think it's interesting. But I'm going to go with Svi Mykhailiuk for this one. Svi has been a journeyman throughout his NBA career. He has rarely been in a scenario where he's been on a team that's been really, really good, and he can kind of insert himself in spurts when needed, when they need that shooter from the perimeter, or when they need that particular kind of stat line. He can come in there and, you know, just kind of perform. I mean, he's someone who, if you're looking for an all-star, hasn't really checked anyone's boxes to give him a starting role. But when you're looking for support throughout the roster, he makes all the sense in the world. And now he's finally getting a chance to do it with a team that's at the top level of the game. And I think Kristaps Porzingis has a lot more to do with Boston's brilliant regular season than Svi Mykhailiuk, but I think Svi has had a role to play. And so in a game where he might see a lot of minutes, just given the circumstances for Boston, I'm excited to see what he does and see how the former Hornet fares against his former club. So we've got our players to watch, we've got our stats to watch, and we know after the game is over and you've gotten done listening on 92.7 Sports Radio WFNZ and the Hornets Radio Network, you should watch Spectrum News 1, because Mike Solarte will have you covered there. Mike, thanks as always for joining us today and throughout the season. Hope you have a wonderful offseason, and can't wait to cover the 24-25 squad with you.
It's going to be fun, Sam. It's always a blast to visit with you. It's always fun to talk Buckets. And Svi Mykhailiuk, by the way, it's a really good pick. He only played 7 minutes against Milwaukee, but didn't miss a shot.
He has that kind of impact on games every now and again.
5 points in 7 minutes worth of work. Nice contribution. I knew you were going with him, though. I got a soft spot for those former Hornets, man. That was great. But hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I am predictable as always. My pleasure. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our producer, Rob Longo, for putting this podcast together. Most of all, to all of you for tuning in. Till next time, for everyone here, I'm Sam Farber, saying it's been a pleasure and a privilege having you along, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.